Chapter 2. "There you are," Ms. Bader grunted from her massive desk in the back corner of Bluford's main office as Darcy arrived. The room hummed with the electric buzz of fluorescent lights and smelled vaguely of hand sanitizer. "You're to go straight to Ms. Briggs," the secretary barked, barely looking up from her computer.
"Ms. Briggs?"
Darcy asked, confused. She had not expected to hear her guidance counselor's name. A bored-looking student in a nearby visitor chair picked his nails and listened, a scowl on his face.
"Yes, go on. She's waiting for you. And no, you're not in trouble," the secretary added, glancing sternly at the student. "Miss Spencer is ready for you now, Tyree."
Darcy grabbed a hall pass and made the short walk to the guidance office. Sandwiched between the main office and the gym, the guidance office was lined with glass panels that faced the hallway, allowing students to see into it as they passed by. Colorful flyers and motivational posters were taped to many of the panels. "The future depends on what you do today," read one of them. "No, the future is just another F word." Darcy recalled what Tara had said about the poster a few weeks ago. They had laughed at the time, but now, for some reason, it seemed less funny. The guidance office was eerily quiet when Darcy stepped inside. An aging, speckled carpet covered the floor and blocked most of the sound from the hall. A cluster of saggy maroon cushioned chairs formed an L-shaped waiting area for guests. Opposite them, a narrow corridor led back to a series of small offices for Bluford's counselors. Between the offices and the waiting area, a wooden work table, nicked and gouged with years of use, held a display of college brochures and a few books about preparing for the SAT. A familiar student sat at the table reading them, Brasana Meeks. Darcy nearly tripped when she saw her.
"Good, you're both here," a voice called out before Darcy could say anything.
Ms. Briggs, a plump, light-skinned woman with dyed red hair, burst from the first tiny office. Darcy had met with her twice since starting at Bluford. Both times, like today, Ms. Briggs had worn a tangle of bracelets that made a metallic clinking sound whenever her hands moved, which was constantly.
"Come," she urged.
The clinking punctuated her words as she waved both girls into her cramped office.
"Sit down."
Darcy followed Brasana and grabbed a chair in front of a row of steel file cabinets. Stacks of folders, some thick and others thin, crowded the computer on Ms. Briggs' desk. A large poster hung on the wall with giant, hand-sized text that seemed to scream at anyone in the room. "What you say in here stays in here," it read. Darcy wondered how many students stared at that poster and what they might have told Ms. Briggs. She doubted the counselor could find anything in her cluttered office, but then she noticed a slender file with her name on it resting under the counselor's hand. A folder with Brasana's name was there, too.
"I bet you're wondering why I called you in," Ms. Briggs said as she scooted her chair toward them, a tight-lipped smile on her face.
"Yes, ma'am," Brasana said in the sweet voice she reserved for adults. Darcy had heard it countless times. They had been friends since grade school, but that changed last year when Darcy and Tara became close. Since then, Brasana had been icy and mean at times, always trying to convince Darcy that Tara was no good.
"A zero," Brasana had called her.
Once, Brasana even tried to come between her and Hakeem. The episode would have destroyed their relationship if Tara hadn't convinced Darcy to give Brasana a second chance. Despite perfect grades, flawless coppery skin, stylish clothes, and her sometimes snobby attitude, Brasana was troubled. Her distracted parents didn't seem to notice or care. In July, when Brasana got into a relationship with an older boy who broke her heart and left her fearful she might be pregnant, she had turned to Darcy for help, not her parents. Tara had quietly helped Darcy get Brasana to a doctor, an experience Darcy would never forget, especially the sound of Brasana sobbing in relief and sadness at the ordeal. It was a side of Brasana no one knew, one Darcy was certain Miss Briggs never imagined.
"Well, I won't keep you in suspense any longer," the counselor said, shattering the memory. "I have some wonderful news."
She paused dramatically.
"You know Trinity College, right?"
Brasana's eyes widened. Darcy recognized the name. It was a small private college outside the city where wealthy kids went to school.
Well, yeah. Brisana spoke as if Ms. Briggs had just asked a dumb question. Who doesn't know about Trinity?
Of course. I forgot who I was talking to, Ms. Briggs said with a knowing smile. But here's something you may not know. Every year, two high-achieving juniors from each of the city's public high schools are selected for Trinity's Bridge program. It's reserved for juniors who demonstrate real academic potential. I'm happy to say you two were chosen from Bluford.
Oh my God, Brisana cheered, her face beaming.
Ms. Briggs handed them each a slick, glossy folder. The cover showed a group of fresh-faced teenagers of different complexions stepping purposefully on a footbridge. A handsome, tree-lined campus dotted with important-looking buildings stretched before them. The words, Bridge to Excellence, glowed in striking letters across the top of the folder. Beneath them, in smaller script, was a second line, Infinite Possibilities Await.
This is awesome, Brisana cheered.
She hugged the folder to her chest and danced in her seat, her braids swinging around her chin as she shimmied and nudged Darcy.
Isn't this amazing, Darcy? We made it.
Wow, I mean, just wow, Darcy stammered, struggling to absorb the news. I'm surprised. I remember filling out a form when we took the PSAT, but I never thought.
Well, you did it.
Congratulations, both of you, Ms. Briggs said with a grin so wide her cheeks looked as if they might burst. I just got the packet and couldn't wait to tell you the news. Darcy smiled and tried to look excited, but in Ms. Briggs's intense stare, she felt pressured somehow, especially because Brisana was so happy.
Are you familiar with how the program works?
Ms. Briggs asked, her bracelets jingling slightly as she flipped through the paperwork from Trinity College.
Oh, yes.
I remember reading about the program, Brisana gushed, still in her teacher's pet voice. Darcy hadn't seen her this excited in years. We meet in small groups with other Bridge students each month during the school year.
That's right, Ms. Briggs said, nodding in approval.
Really? Darcy asked. She had barely paid attention to the paperwork from Trinity College when she took the PSAT.
Here's the best part, Brisana added. Next summer, we get to spend 2 weeks on campus, staying in a dorm, and taking some classes so we're ready for college work.
Ms. Briggs laughed.
Brisana, you have been doing your homework. You got it just right. It's one of the best programs I know. Even if you don't go to Trinity for college, you get valuable experience about what college is like. And guess what else?
It's completely free. Darcy's heart skipped in her chest. On one hand, the news was great. She knew she should be thrilled, and part of her was. But another part felt bothered. She was barely a junior, and now a college she didn't choose was forcing her to face a future she wasn't ready for. The trees, footbridge, and chiseled buildings were a different world from Bluford High School. An alien planet.
Do I want this?
A voice inside her said. But then, in a flash, she pictured herself on Trinity's campus, walking with the attractive, fresh-faced kids on the brochure. She imagined herself being in class with them, being as smart as them, maybe being smarter. Infinite possibilities. The words on the brochure sang out to her.
Could I really go there?
She wondered. Maybe Hakeem could go to school there, too. The idea played in her mind like a movie. He could study music. They would graduate together, find jobs, and get a house surrounded by green grass instead of the dry, trash-strewn patches in their neighborhood.
Maybe my parents could stay with us.
Maybe Mom wouldn't have to work so hard. Maybe the baby could play outside in the yard. Darcy let the images spool in slow motion in her mind, especially the part of her walking hand in hand on campus with Hakeem. But, Ms. Briggs's voice sliced through Darcy's fantasy.
They've done it again.
Done what? Brisana asked.
They sent out the acceptance notices late. They always do, she sighed.
You have to decide immediately. Orientation is next Saturday, and you must be there or you could lose your spot. She raised a finger at Darcy and Brisana, making her bracelets ting like cymbals in a tiny marching band.
I hope that won't be a problem. Next Saturday. The date snagged in her mind for a second, and then she realized why. Cooper's surprise party. Darcy gulped. Tara nearly had a meltdown when Hakeem told her he couldn't make it. Darcy knew there was no way she could miss it. Tara would never forgive her. Darcy flipped the brochure to its back. In a red circle, she saw the time of the orientation, 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. "I'll be there," Brisana assured her. "Excellent," Ms. Briggs said, turning to Darcy with her eyebrows raised in question. "How about you? You can make it, right?"
I'll try," Darcy stammered.
"Try? Do you have a conflict? Is it work?"
"No, it's nothing like that."
"Then what is it?"
Ms. Briggs leaned forward. The smile left her face.
"I'm supposed to help a friend with something."
Ms. Briggs frowned.
"Darcy, do you know how important this is? There are hundreds of kids in this city who would jump at this opportunity. Most will never get the chance. Don't give Trinity College reason to doubt you. Adjust your schedule. You need to be there."
"I will, Miss Briggs," Darcy assured her, trying to sound convincing.
"I hope so."
The counselor dropped her gaze and pointed to Darcy's folder.
"Oh, and another thing. A parent or guardian must accompany you to the orientation. Directions and permission forms are in your packets. Get them signed and bring them with you. Understand?"
Darcy nodded as Brisana grinned and shimmied in her seat. Ms. Briggs stepped around her desk and gave them each a quick hug.
"Congratulations to you both, ladies. You will make Bluford proud. This is a big deal, girls. A very big deal."
"Is that it?"
Tara scoffed at the end of the day, flipping over the Trinity College brochure Darcy just handed her.
"That's it."
"They had me scared half to death. I thought something was wrong. I mean, you never get called to the office."
Tara glanced at the students on the footbridge and handed it right back.
"Whatever. Where's Coop at?"
she asked, craning her neck at the stream of students leaving the school.
"He better not be late."
The afternoon had gone by in a blur. Darcy could barely remember what they had talked about in English or the organic molecules they had reviewed in chemistry. Something about carboxyl groups. What she did recall was reading the Trinity Bridge program brochure several times.
"Could I really go there? Could I live there for 2 weeks next summer? What'll happen when I'm gone?"
Darcy couldn't stop the questions. The longest she had ever been away from home was a week, and even that was a decade ago when Grandma was still alive and healthy and had her small home on the other side of the city. A lifetime ago. This would be different. New places and new people. Infinite possibilities. The thought scared her, but it also made her palms tingle with excitement until she pictured Tara's reaction to the news that she would miss setting up for Cooper's party. She knew she had to tell Tara as soon as possible.
"It looks like a great program, though, right?"
Darcy began nervously.
"I mean, it's not something I can pass up."
"Uh-huh,"
Tara said absently, grabbing her phone and scrolling through a seemingly endless stream of messages. She paused to scan the crowd of students exiting the school.
"But there's this orientation," Darcy continued, choosing her words carefully.
"Ms. Briggs got late notice about it, and where's that boy?"
Tara put a hand on her hip and shook her head in frustration.
"Honestly, all of us have to be there or we could lose our spots."
Darcy leaned slightly closer to Tara, looking for some evidence that her words were being heard.
"I think it can work if we just..."
"Darcy!"
A grating, sing-songy voice sliced through the air. Darcy turned to see Brisana sauntering over to where they stood, a grin on her face that dimmed slightly when she and Tara locked eyes.
"Hey, Tara," she added coolly, sizing up Tara's jeans and the lip of belly fat straining against her red top.
"Did Darcy tell you our news about Trinity College?"
"Yeah, she told me,"
Tara replied, sounding bored. She scanned her phone again.
"You see Cooper inside?"
Brisana shook her head at his name, as if Tara mentioned a disease she didn't want to catch. Tara's thumbs moved across her phone in a blur, her eyes glued to her screen.
"Are you walking home, Darcy?"
Brisana asked,
wedging herself so that she was almost between Darcy and Tara. "We need to talk. Did you read the whole brochure? The group we meet next Saturday is the one we'll be with the entire year."
"Hold up."
Tara's hand sliced through the air as if she were suddenly directing traffic.
"Did she say next Saturday? What's she talking about? Please tell me she got her days wrong."
"That's what I was trying to tell you," Darcy said, clutching her books to her chest like a shield as she backed away from Tara slightly. "That's the day of our orientation."
"You're skipping it, right?" Tara demanded. "Didn't you tell them you had plans?"
"I did, but if I missed this, I could lose my spot."
"Your spot?"
Tara's eyes flashed with anger and hurt. "You promised you'd be there, Darcy. I need your help with all the..."
"Here he comes,"
Rosanna cut in, seeming almost as bored as Tara had been only minutes earlier. Darcy spotted Cooper exiting through the high school's main doors. She lowered her voice and tried to explain.
"Tara, the orientation ends early. I'll still be there, I promise."
Tara scowled. For a split second, her jaw dropped as if she was about to yell, but then she stopped herself.
"You ready, Tara?"
Cooper weaved through the thinning crowd, his bright eyes darting between Darcy and Tara as if he saw something that concerned him.
"Everything good?"
"Yeah, we cool," Tara said icily.
"Yeah,"
Darcy added, trying to sound normal. "Everything's fine, Coop." Cooper slipped his arm around Tara, but she didn't budge. She was still staring intently at Darcy, who saw disappointment and something else in Tara's eyes. Several seconds passed in agonizing silence.
"Come on, T," Cooper said. "We don't want to be late."
"Yeah, we don't want to lose our spot," Tara huffed, breaking her stare with Darcy.
"Where are you two going?"
Rosanna asked, suddenly curious.
"Nowhere special," Tara answered quickly.
"Go on to the truck, Coop. I'll be right there. I need to talk to Darcy for a minute more. Privately."
"You sure?"
Cooper asked.
"Don't make me late or I'ma go Miss Bader on you and give you a Saturday detention."
Tara shoved him away with mock irritation.
"Make you late? After all the time I spend waiting on you, you owe me a month of Saturdays,"
she huffed, nudging him aside.
"I'm leaving,"
Rosanna said, rolling her eyes. "Text me later, Darcy."
"She don't need to,"
Tara cut in, not even looking at Rosanna.
"I'll only be a second. You can wait."
Darcy watched as Cooper crossed the street to his old truck. She wished she could calm Tara, assure her somehow, but she didn't know what to say.
"Look, Tara, I'm sorry. You promise you'll be there by 3?
Tara cut her off.
"Definitely," Darcy vowed. "Where else am I gonna be?"
"All right, then." Tara's face softened.
"I'm not gonna lie. I need you, girl. With everything me and Coop been through lately, it's been stressful."
She took a deep breath.
"Dez and Roiland are gonna help, but I want this done right. You're the only one I trust for that."
Tara suddenly seemed serious. Too serious. As if their conversation was about more than Cooper's party. Darcy wanted to ask, but Cooper was waiting. She could see him in his truck shaking his head.
"Don't worry. The orientation ends at 2 p.m. It's only an hour away. I'll be there by 3,
Darcy insisted. "We'll get everything done before he shows up. We got this, Tara." Tara nodded, seeming relieved.
"I hope so, girl. I'm hoping we can catch up, too."
"Me too," Darcy replied. Cooper's horn blasted from across the street.
"Come on, Tara, we're gonna be late,"
he yelled. Tara closed her eyes and took a deep breath.
"Was she okay?"
Darcy wondered.
"I gotta go, Darce. Congratulations on your college thing,"
Tara muttered, hurrying to Cooper's truck. A second later, they raced off in a cloud of noise and exhaust.
"Where you think they're going?"
Rosanna asked as the truck disappeared in traffic.
"I have no idea."
"Don't take this wrong, but why are you even going to that party?"
"Can you stop for once?"
Darcy snapped.
"I'm going because they're my friends. Maybe if you were nicer, you'd have more."
"Seriously, Darcy, you don't need friends like that. You need to start thinking about your future," Rosanna said.
"Is this what you want to talk about? Because if it is, I'm done with this conversation."
"Look," Rosanna said, holding the brochure up in Darcy's face. The words Bridge to Excellence screamed from the page. Say what you want, but Tara's people aren't these people. None of them are going to college. If you don't watch out, they're going to drag you down. You don't know anything about her. Tara wouldn't drag anyone down. She's always there for me. She was even there for you, remember?
You sure about that? Brisana challenged, ignoring Darcy's question.
What do you mean?
Look what just happened. Tara didn't care about your news.
I'm not saying she's a bad person, but she doesn't get this the way you and I do, Brisana said, clutching the brochure.
Darcy had heard Brisana put down Tara many times. Usually, she was petty and easy to ignore. But this was different. For some reason, her words were sticky in Darcy's mind, clinging to her thoughts, even though Darcy didn't want them to.
You got her all wrong, Brisana, Darcy insisted. She's one of the smartest people I know, and she's real. She's got a future, too.
Really?
Doing what? Her nails?
Brisana shot back.
That's it. I'm done with this, Darcy snapped.
No, you're not done. You're just getting started.
We both are, and that's my point, Brisana shot back, stepping in Darcy's path. I get that you like her, but we're juniors now, Darcy. Juniors. Things are about to get real. We've got big choices to make, and Tara won't help you make them.
You're headed one way, and she's headed another.
How long do you think you can stay friends when you don't have anything in common?
You know who has nothing in common?
Us, Darcy fumed, shouldering past Brisana.
You know I'm right, Brisana added. You just don't want to admit it.
Darcy stormed off, unable to silence the ugly words Brisana planted in her mind.